You know, at 12 years of age, young Jewish men, even before teenage years, they were entrusted to be in the Word. Entrusted to be in the Word. To know the Word. Because they didn't have a cell phone they can put in airplane mode and still have the Bible on electronics that you can refer to at any moment, at any time. They read the Word. They memorized the Word. They chewed on the Word. They ruminated on it. That means, you know how a cow chews a cud? Cough something up and they chew on it for a while. It's kind of gross, but that's what they do. That's what the Bible tells us we need to do with this right here. Put it in our hearts and chew on it. Meditate on it. Keep it right here. All the time. So that one day, the Holy Spirit can call on you to cough something up. Nice, right? I mean, you know, descriptive. Oh, yeah, there's a word. Great visual right there. You'll never forget that one. See, the pattern and design of God is in all of us. This pattern of the seed pattern. There's no shortcuts to maturity. There's no shortcuts. Not even for God's only begotten Son. Not even for Him. It starts with the seed. The seed needed a human partner. This is important. Mary was a human partner with God Almighty. That angel came. And what did Mary say to Him after she heard this fantastic word that was going to happen to her? What did she say to Him? Somebody remember. Be it unto me according to your word. Something like that, right? She received the seed. According to your word, be it unto me. Jesus was God before birth, wasn't He? He was recognized by Mary's cousin Elizabeth as God while she was great with child. At birth, He was worshipped by the shepherds. After birth, He was worshipped by the wise men. He was worshipped. He was understood as being a king. And I won't turn there, but you can write this note down. In Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 38, remember the story of Simeon, aged Simeon? He was in the temple all the time, and he was promised by God that he would see the Messiah. Remember that? Simeon recognized this little 8-day-old baby as the king. Not too many people recognize him as the king. Well, the shepherds did because they were told by the angels, hey, your king is born over here. And then later on, the wise men came. Right? They were living in the house by this time. They're still not in the manger, so you see those little creches with the wise men. That was kind of like not really the Bible, you know, right? Because it was a few days after, maybe weeks or a month after, the wise men finally show up. They bring gifts. They worshiped Him as a king when He was a little child, baby. Anna, remember Anna? She was an old woman, very, very aged. And she recognized this child as the king. I'm going somewhere with this line of thinking. A few weeks ago, I preached that message, 10:38, how God is with you. I'm with you. It's very significant. Matthew said it over and over again, that it may be fulfilled, that God is with us. So many times we fail to see when God is with us because we reject the seed a lot of times because it doesn't come the way we want it. But as we mature into who we are as sons and daughters of God, we have to gain understanding on how God works. Who wants to understand how God works? I do. I'm learning every day. You know, we all need to be in that school of the Holy Spirit where we're learning every day as how God works. And He tells us about this seed. Over and over we read stories about the seed. And we don't want to miss this. Because if we fail to understand how He works, we can get frustrated, right? Anybody ever been frustrated? Be honest. I'll put both hands up a little bit. We've all been frustrated, some even today. We get frustrated because God doesn't answer us like we expect Him to answer us. And in our haste for answers, because let's face it, we do live in the give it to me now times. I'm not pointing at anybody because I look at myself too. I want it now. hurry up with my coffee already? There's three cars ahead of me in Dunkin' Donuts line. Come on. Because we want it now, right? We want answers now. But we get frustrated in our haste for answers that sometimes we miss massive breakthroughs. We give up too soon. We miss how God answers prayer. Children of Israel cried out for a king, a Messiah. They were promised a Messiah, a king. But when he came as a seed and as a little baby, they didn't recognize him. He didn't come the way they expected him to come. And see, many times God answers your prayers in seed form. I'll give a couple examples. I mean, we cry out for these major breakthroughs or miracles in our lives. Anybody ever cry out for a major breakthrough or miracle? Yes, we all do. And if you're not, there's something wrong with you. We need to cry out for breakthroughs. God's put that in our heart, to cry out to the Father for breakthroughs and miracles. Many times he gives them to us in seed form. Oh God, I want a mighty oak tree. Give me an oak tree, God. Please, put that oak tree right in front of me. I need this mighty giant oak tree. And God comes along, and what does he give us? An acorn. God, that can't be you. That acorn? No way. That's not you, God. I'm not waiting around for that to grow. Now, we would never say that to God, would we? But by our actions, many times we reject the seed. All right, so put it in your notes, this big oak tree, acorns all over it, and a couple acorns on the ground, and God's giving you one of those acorns right now. He's giving you an acorn. He's giving you a seed. Now, when you see that acorn, something has to be done with that acorn. He gives us this acorn. Where is this tree? It's right in the seed. It's in the seed God gave us. We cry out to God. Well, I'm going to give you a couple of other seed examples. And if I'm stepping on anybody's toes on purpose, I'm not doing it intentionally. Maybe I am. I'm not thinking about anybody intentionally. Let me give you a couple seed examples, okay? We cry out to God about how bad our job is, how bad my boss is, how my boss doesn't understand me, all my coworkers are against me. Don't say amen. Nobody say amen. Maybe your seed is to be the best employee you can be. Maybe your seed is to be the hardest working. Maybe your seed is to be the least complaining. Maybe your seed is to be the least controlling. There, I said it. Maybe that's the seed God's given you. See what he does with it. I mean, I have experience as a business owner and as a pastor. And majority of the time, your breakthrough, my breakthrough, we're all in the same boat here. A lot of times our breakthrough lies in our attitude. Right? Lies in our attitude, not anybody else. God will help you through it, but it's in my attitude. Who do you ultimately work for anyway? It's not a trick question. Don't we ultimately work for God? We should be doing our work as unto the Lord. There's one example of a seed God might be handing you right now. Okay. Here's another thing. We pray and we ask, God, give me wisdom. Oh, we cry out, God, give me wisdom, give me wisdom. But right in front of you is a book full of seeds that you should be meditating on day and night, because God will give you wisdom through the seed of his word. Not on fear, not on worry, not on the world, not on what the current events are telling us, not on the economy. You want wisdom, you're going to find it in here. Here's another one. Oh, Lord, give me power. Oh, Lord. And that's a good thing to pray for. The power of the Lord. Lord, let it reside on my life. God gives a seed and he says, get in my presence and stay in my presence. Just get in my presence, stay in my presence. You'll have more power than you know what to do with. When we ask the Lord for something good, we can expect answers, but we have to recognize that it might come in a different form than what we ask for. Good thing God doesn't give us everything we ask for. Because as you get older and everything else, you realize, oh man, I'm glad I didn't get that. Whoa. And a lot of times God gives a seed form because He's looking for your character to develop and mature over time. If you just got everything you asked for all the time instantaneously the way you wanted it, you'd be one spoiled, rotten kid. Right? I didn't plan on saying that. But, Selah, he develops our character in this process. He builds our faith. You know, that character building process, at the same time as your character is being built, your faith is being built. You're looking back and going, wow, God did this for me. God did that for me. I am going to wait upon the Lord because he's the one that's going to renew my strength. He's the one that's going to cause me to run and rise up and fly like an eagle. Amen? It's significant to note this. Are you willing to receive the seed of faith like Mary did? Are you willing to receive that seed of faith like Mary did, who said, be it unto me according to your word? We look in the Bible and we read about all Jesus' miracles, and you know what? They're all different. He did not do cookie-cutter miracles. They're all different. So why should we expect God to do things the way we've always seen them happen before? We can't get caught up in that notion. Sometimes miracles may require some action on our part. Wait a minute. Larry, you're getting extra biblical here. I get to do something to bring a miracle? Yes. Want me to give you an example? Oh, thank you. Boy, I like interaction. It's good stuff. Okay. Listen, Mary had to carry the seed. She didn't just conceive and boom, there's Jesus, 30 years old, the man of God, God's son. She had to carry him, gave birth to him, raised him, fed him, changed his diapers. That's not sacrilegious. She had to change his diapers, wipe his nose, answer his questions, follow him around to keep him out of trouble. Not that he was going to be evil. We know he wasn't, but, you know, little kids do things. Right? They're children. She had to train him. So, yes, sometimes miracles require action on our part. Let me give you another example. John chapter 9, verse 6. You can write that down. John chapter 9, verse 6. You can write it. I'm not going to have to turn there. You all know this story. I preached on it a couple years ago. The title was God's One More Thing. It was about the blind man born blind from birth. Remember him? And what did Jesus do to him? He was sitting around there. He came. Jesus spit on the ground, made mud. Right? Didn't he make some mud? I get to move around because I can't stand just being standing in one spot all the time. He made some mud. Now, what would happen if somebody put mud in your eye? That's the most sensitive part of your body. Mud in your eye with spit. I know, all of a sudden, even if it was Jesus' spit, you would still cringe. Right? Come on, you would. You'd go, oh. Because, you know the guy heard. And then all of a sudden, and the Bible says he smeared it. I mean, the Bible uses that nice word anointed, but literally the word anointed means smeared. That's what it means, smear. Smeared in his eyes. And you would think that'd be enough. It wasn't enough. That man had to go someplace. He had to do something. He had to go somewhere. Jesus told him, okay, now you take that glop that I put in your eyes and you go to the pool of Siloam. And I didn't look at it again, but there's a distance between where he was to Siloam. The pool of Siloam. And I looked up the word Siloam because I just thought of this part of the message this morning. So, but the word Siloam was a fountain, a pool that goes way back into the time of Jerusalem being built. It was a place. So he had to get there. Now, blind people, they have an uncanny ability to hear things, right? Remember things. And I imagine this guy, Jesus just smeared this junk in my eye and I got to go wash it out because it hurts for one. And he had to find his way. He had to walk down those cobblestones. He had to feel his way along the stone walls and had to cross a few streets probably, right? Can you imagine him doing this? And he had to do something to position himself for the miracle. We need to do things to position ourselves to receive from the Lord. and obey the King, God with us, Emmanuel. We need to get into that place where we can receive what He has promised. Because, you know, He smeared that in His eyes. The guy believed Him. He washed that glop out of His eyes. Nobody worshiped that glop, did they? I'll just throw that in there for free. This blind man from birth. And there's a whole controversy. Remember the whole story? There's all kinds of controversy about this. Blind from birth. Who sinned? Oh, we're so quick to jump in there. Who sinned? This man or his parents? Nobody sinned. Don't jump there when you see somebody having a problem. Don't jump there. Jump to compassion. Jump to compassion first. Amen? His journey to that pool wasn't easy or convenient. But there was action required on his part. Action. And if you look through the scriptures and you look at the miracles that Jesus did, you'll see a few other places where there's some action required for the miracle to be received. Amen? But obedience positions us to receive. I have a quote here that Bill Johnson said, and he says this, "Often miracles are on the other side of inconvenience." Nobody likes to be inconvenienced. Bon Jaro prophesied over me one time many years ago. You're going to go through several years of inconvenience. Oh, I might still be in them. I don't know. Emmanuel, God with us. Is it sinking in that God is with you? God is with us. God with us. That's the only way for us to live the life He has given. And He's going to plant seeds in you. God with us, I am with you. He brings wonderful promises, bringing hope and power, resurrection, life, hope for others. God with us, plants seeds in us that will grow into what He wants in our life. God with us, growing character in us so that we can fulfill what He's called us to do. None of us here has fulfilled what He's called us to do yet. We're not going to fulfill what He's called us to do until the day we see Him face to face. Amen? God with us. Emmanuel, who came as a seed, matured into our Savior. Emmanuel, God with us. Let's stand and pray. Lord, we thank You for the wonderful promise of Emmanuel. Lord, let the name ring in our ears, our mind, our heart, not just throughout the season, Lord, but throughout our lives. Lord, You are with us.